from stpetecatalyst.com.
Joining me on this edition of Impact Catalyst are the Dream Team from Habitat for Humanity, Morgan and Mike. Welcome.
What's going on, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Good to see you. So we've been connected for a long time. We just re-engaged on a little bit deeper level through your joining of the Impact Council here on the Catalyst, which is greatly appreciated and very happy to have your minds in the mix. And that you doing that with us plays into a larger and, you know, I would say pretty aggressive and pretty innovative push out into the community with podcasts and value add information and things like that. So can you kind of give us a look behind the strategy there and you know, why is Habitat putting all these different kinds of content out along these different avenues and where you're going with it?
So we are so excited to be part of the council. We have been really focused on, we have this growth mindset for the next 3 years. We have a lot, we always have a lot going on, of course, but we're really, really formalizing our advocacy program. So being able to partner with you guys on that and push that kind of information out on what is affordable housing, information on what's the difference between the Habitat mortgage and a regular mortgage, things like that for homeowners who might be interested in applying to the program. And then also those folks who are interested in just getting involved with policy regarding affordable housing and the crisis that we're in right now in that space is really important to us and being innovative, like you said. So we launched our Habitcast in November. So that is our about 30 minutes. We do it twice a month, and that's on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, you know, all those things, Spotify. That's Mike and I are the co-hosts, and we've had some pretty awesome guests come on in the last couple episodes, was highlighting friends of Habitat, people who are engaged with the mission and kind of telling that story in a different way. Just something that we're really trying out in all different innovative ways right now.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the one with Bill Brand. He's a great thinker and a great part of the community for sure. So, you know, as we look specifically at advocacy, you have a very carved out space that you've been operating effectively in for a long time. When we think about affordable housing, the big thing is there's developers, and they're, you know, the numbers show them that they, you know, the higher they can go up the price point ladder, the better. There seems to be demand that supports those types of projects, but we know that there also needs to be places for the infrastructure that supports our community to live. So how do you sort of break down the different ways you're pushing and what are you advocating for as it relates to sort of those different areas of attacking the affordable housing problem?
Joe, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. It's the infrastructure for our community. We have a community that's rich in tourism. And if we want folks to continue to come to Pinellas County and come to St. Petersburg and continue to spend money, continue to invest in our community, we have to have employees and we have to have a place for these folks to live. And right now, I think what we're seeing more and more of are folks leaving Pinellas County and specifically St. Petersburg, and they're moving to Manatee, they're moving to Pasco, because they can't afford to live here anymore. And I think affordable housing has become such a crisis that in some cases, I think we tend to look at the only way to fix it is in density and in such high numbers. An organization like Habitat is specifically focused around home ownership. We don't do rental. We don't do high rise condo type buildings. We do single family homes. We do some multifamily in terms of townhomes and duplexes. We're going to be doing some more of that in St. Petersburg in the coming years. But for us, it's about breaking a cycle and providing someone with a foundation to kind of start that new chapter of life. And so if we can get folks to literally put their roots into the community for many years as a homeowner, we know that we can keep them here and keep good quality of people in our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think at least conversationally, there'd be few people that wouldn't agree with that, right? That makes a lot of sense. The challenge is how do you how do you do that, right? So the solutions are most of the solutions seem to be around governments the government subsidizing the developers to be able to make the same profit they had made on, on bigger deals with smaller deals, just to make sure that those things exist. Outside of that, what are the other types of solutions you're pursuing to make those homes available and those lots available at a price that fits into affordable?
I think at the end of the day, it's a private-public partnership that makes it all work for us. It takes a willing municipality to do the work in, right? So if we're doing work in St. Petersburg, if we don't have an administration and a staff that's bought into affordable housing and the need, it's going to be an uphill battle. So you have to have a willing municipality. There are the private funders that that see that it's important for them to invest in affordable housing. You look at just some of the big businesses in St. Petersburg. If their employees don't have a place to live that's affordable, how are they going to attract and retain employees? So in return, what we end up seeing are a lot of these businesses that are investing in Habitat, whether it's sponsoring a home or getting involved in a pretty deep level. And in addition to that, you obviously need the county involved with it as well. There's a lot of challenges that we see with zoning and permitting. I think that there's a lot of red tape that can be cut and you can move the bureaucracy aside to do more affordable housing. But it really kind of takes all the stars aligning and everybody being on the same page to do it. I think when you look at Habitat, we're the only organization that serves the income levels in which we do with home ownership. No one else even touches that group of residents. And without subsidies from the county and from the cities, it's hard for us to do that work. We raise as much money as we possibly can in the community, but we also need, the municipalities to step up and also ensure that, organizations like Habitat are successful and can continue to do more.
Right. And I'll go out on a limb and say that a big part of the, the advocacy has to be showcasing the value of having a diverse community at all income levels and, all stripes. That's really what makes the character of a city. And, otherwise you just turn into a giant gated community.
100%. We love going into an area where, we can build a home on one street, maybe a couple on another, but it's infill development where we are raising property values, but it's also complementing what's there. So that mixed income component is the key to successful communities, as you mentioned, Joe. So we're not, we're not in the business of trying to create a Habitat only, neighborhood or Habitat specific neighborhood. For us, it's all about how do we work with other developers and other builders to bring all levels of the community together.
And Morgan, when you put things out into the community, these great pieces that you're writing or you're having written, what's the general sort of biggest hurdle of understanding that you have to get over?
I think there's two parts. So talking about affordable homeownership versus affordable housing, kind of like that misconception that you hear affordable housing and there's that NIMBYism effect or whatever it is. Explaining that it's homeownership just from the advocacy standpoint, talking when Sean or Mike are talking from an advocacy standpoint, about policy and things like that at that level, but also just with the general community to know it's not a giveaway program. Our homeowners pay their mortgage. They impact the tax, they impact taxes. They're doing everything that you do as a homeowner, only they're getting a hand up because they're not going to get served on either side of the spectrum. So those two things, and we've really been pushing affordable homeownership, not just affordable housing. Just trying to break that messaging down is going to be an uphill battle. That's not going to go away, but we're going to continue to try to educate people on that for sure.
Sure. And I guess a trickier subject is density. You are obviously a peninsula. There is a finite amount of land, and our population continues to grow at a steady clip. So what is the what is the Habitat relationship with density, looking forward 5 to 10 years from now?
So we're a peninsula on a peninsula, right? So that presents its own challenge when it comes to the floodplain and you know, long-term sustainability of developing homes. There's a couple ways we look at it, Joe. One is we at Habitat recognize that we have to get into multifamily development in order to continue to sustain and continue to grow. And for us, what that means is looking at things like townhomes and duplexes, villas, that kind of thing. Again, we are very specific and we stay in our lane, and our lane is affordable home ownership. So a lot of folks, and we get this probably more in St. Pete than anywhere, that want us to get into rental and high density apartment complex type things. And that's just not our sweet spot. That's not what we do. And so for us, it's continuing to look at ways to maximize space. So if we come across a lot that maybe is a little bit larger in nature, is there a way to put a villa on that lot and be able to put two homes there? I think it's little things like that, chipping away at finding opportunities to serve one more family. In addition to that, I think when we look at what's going on in the community, we can also be an advocate for affordable housing across the board. Habitat has a pretty amazing brand and carries a big name with it. So partnering up with other organizations that are doing advocacy work towards affordable home ownership or affordable housing, we can also kind of lend our name to help with that kind of stuff as well.
That's wonderful. And, you know, whenever I speak with someone, I always like to offer some ways that just, you know, the average listener watching this can get involved and plug in. So I'll say the couple that jump into my head, and then you can add on to that. So one is really understanding the difference between affordable housing and affordable home ownership, and, you know, being a thoughtful considerer of affordable housing or any types of projects in the area to perhaps counteract that sort of knee-jerk NIMBYism that you talked about, not in my backyard, and really see that it may be a real benefit for the neighborhood, and actually stand up and say so. That might be a good one. And then something we haven't mentioned yet, you have a very active, the Restore is a great place where folks can come and get different sort of, you know, things for their house, if they're building housing, remodeling housing, that all goes to support Habitat. And you can participate in that by donating your extra materials or coming and purchasing your materials there. I've been to them. I think they're really cool stores and a really clever way to save a lot of things that might've just been thrown away and repurpose them and to, you know, get a few layers of value out of that. So awesome. And what else?
Well, I'll add on to that Restore. So we actually have our third location just opened up in Palm Harbor, which is really exciting. So now we have three different locations. We have the one on 49th Street in Clearwater, Palm Harbor, as well as in Newport Richey, which is really great. There's all kinds of different items at all three locations. So shopping and donating there is always exciting. You never know what you're going to find. Actually, Mike just picked up new chairs. What was that, Saturday? He literally has new office chairs.
Do you need any chairs? I bought two chairs on Saturday. I have no idea what it was, kind of like a spur of the moment buy. I was like, these are really cool chairs, but now I have nowhere to put them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they're comfortable, man. I fell asleep in one in the hallway.
You know, you're not on the floor of a Restore right now as a customer service selling. You're not selling right now. I feel like you know. You have an imaginary apron on.
Yeah, that's always on.
We actually do, because we just had a new hire who she doesn't like the chair that she's in. She was going to bring one from home, so
maybe we just need to
restore it. Yeah,
these are some they're lounge chairs for your living room. I don't know if that's what they call them, but they're very comfortable.
Okay, but the product not good for productivity. No,
I think they're more for like.
Unless you gotta, Simon is the nap.
In order to produce at a higher level. So maybe it is. Maybe it's like a nap.
You heard it here first, Morgan. Nap away.
I know. I heard it. It's sitting in front of his office. I was sitting in it earlier, actually. But in addition to shopping the Restores and kind of becoming more of an educated advocate about affordable home ownership and the mission in general, applying to the program and referring qualified candidates to the program is a huge way that is kind of almost overlooked. You hear apply and a lot of people think, I'm not going to qualify. We hear that from our homeowners who have progressed through the program, quite often saying, oh, I didn't think I was, we weren't going to apply. We didn't think it was for us. And then now they find themselves in a super affordable mortgage position where they can provide for their family in a different way. So that's a huge step and kind of an out of what you wouldn't think, but kind of an out of the box way to get involved. I'm sure everybody knows somebody who could qualify and benefit from the program.
Yeah, and you made a good point earlier. It is one, and I have to forgive me. I can't remember the acronym or the name, but you know that sort of just sustainably employed, where they're it's one of the least served tranches of need because they're not you know completely without income, but they're just sort of that working but struggling folks, and they really are the backbone of. What is historically been called the American dream, and to get them, they are contributing, they are working, but costs are going up, salaries not going up, and to give them a chance to enjoy what they should be able to enjoy with a full time job, and sometimes more than that, that's just a place where not enough people play, and it's a real benefit to the community that you do really get into that zone.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. All right. Well, I've seen the next couple pieces we'll be publishing for you as part of our Community Voices section and as partners in the Impact Council, and they are very good. And so I'll look forward to sharing those with the community. I appreciate you taking a little time to come on and catch up, and I'll look forward to more great things over the coming months.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe.
From stpcatalyst.com.